going to do a little bit of a deeper dive into the Buffalo primary for mayor with Jim Heaney, the founder, editor, and executive director of Investigative Post, who has looked at the numbers and come away less than impressed with incumbent Mayor Brown's victory. Jim, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, a win is a win, and the mayor certainly won, and he certainly won by a pretty handy margin. But if you look at the numbers, they may or may not be showing signs of a little bit of voter fatigue.
Well, what is this? How many times has he run now? What is this term?
This is his fourth primary.
Yeah, well, that's about the time. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly been around, and people are familiar with him. And so, you know, I took a look at how many votes he got in the primary. This year, they still have to count, I don't know, 1,700, 1,800 absentee ballots. But he got a little bit more than 13,000 votes this time around, a 51% of the vote. 8 years ago, maybe the high water mark, over 26,000. So he got about half the number of votes in winning the primary as he did 8 years ago. And this is the fewest number of votes he's ever gotten in a primary, and it's the smallest margin of victory. 4 years ago, he captured 2/3 of the vote, 67%.
Who were his opponents? I mean, were they very well known?
Well, no. 4 years ago, Bernie Tolbert was the candidate. He was not especially well known, and he did not run a good campaign. 8 years ago, he ran against Mickey Kearns,
who's an
assemblyman. He was common council member at the time. Mickey ran a very spirited campaign. Voter turnout was better, not great. It was, I don't know, 35-40%. This year, it's mid-20s. That's a big part of the problem. When you look historically, the high water mark for voter turnout in the city of Buffalo is back in the late 70s, early 80s, when Jimmy Griffin was running. There was a huge racial divide here. Jimmy Griffin was the champion of the white ethnic voter, and Arthur Eve in 77, and George Arthur after that, was African-American leadership that garnered a lot of votes out of the black community here. And you had very, very tough races, very antagonistic races, and they brought 55-60% of the voters out. To give you an example, roughly 27,000-28,000 people voted yesterday. When Jimmy Griffin won back in 77, there were almost 75,000 votes cast. There's been a little bit of shrinkage in the population, but it doesn't even begin to explain.
No.
People are, the voting public is not engaged in city government here when it comes to showing up at the polls. They just, if you look at the turnout, the last four or five elections, it's, with the exception of one, it's under 30%. I mean, it's been a long, long time since we topped 40%. I mean, back in the early 90s.
So in New York City, Jim, 19% of registered Democrats voted in the primary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just Buffalo, but I think...
People have had it.
People have had it, right.
Well, yeah. But, this time, though, unlike 4 years ago when Bernie Tolbert ran a pretty low-key, uninspiring campaign. Mark Schroeder, the city comptroller, I thought ran a pretty good campaign. He was fairly aggressive. He was issues-oriented. One observer I spoke to yesterday thought that Schroeder was a little late out of the gate and needed to be more aggressive early on. But I think he was facing... In retrospect, he was facing an electorate that I think, not only was indifferent, but I think there was a sense of, well, Brown's going to win. Why even bother paying attention?
Right.
I did think that Schroeder ran. When I look at the list of people who have challenged the incumbents over the years, I would say, with the exception of Mickey Kearns, Schroeder probably ran the best campaign since Gene Fahey and Tony Masiello skirt off in 93. Mark didn't, you know, he didn't run a bad campaign, but he was up against an indifferent public and right. An incumbent that had people thinking, I'm just gonna roll this guy.
It doesn't hurt. I would think that Governor Cuomo and Brown are pretty tight. When Governor Cuomo has basically spent a lot of time in Buffalo.
Yeah, although, you know, I think the most interesting endorsement was the one that was not handed out. Brian Higgins sat this one out. Brian, as you know, is a very influential congressman
right. In
Buffalo. Brian is like the number one political force in Western New York.
Right, he's like the Democratic kingmaker. So what's that all about?
Well, see, Brian doesn't want to be the kingmaker. You know, he ran some people several years back, and they lost, and he had had enough of trying to use his influence to get his, quote, his people elected. The dynamics were this. Mark Schroeder is a Higgins guy. He came out of the Higgins camp. You know, Brian had kind of a group of folks who were followers who went into public office, Mark being one of them. And you know, I believe they've maintained good relations over the years. So on one hand, you'd think that Brian would be in Schroeder's corner. On the other hand, you know, Higgins has maintained a working relationship with Brown. Almost every Democrat of consequence in the state and locally endorsed Brown. And I don't think, and I'm just speculating here because I have not spoken with a congressman about this, but I think it's pretty safe speculation. Higgins probably looked at the race and thought, number one, you know, Schroeder, this is an uphill fight.
Right, and why make an enemy?
Yeah, well, and two, you know, do I not only want to break ranks with the mayor, but, you know, all the, you know, with the governor and then Schumer and everybody else, it was probably more trouble than it was worth to Higgins. Now, that said, if Higgins had gotten behind Schroeder big, I think you could have possibly seen a different outcome, because Brian does, you know, Brian's endorsement would have brought money, it would have brought attention, it would have brought some energy. It could have made a difference, but Brian sat it out. So, and his endorsement would have been worth a lot more than, say, a Cuomo, because Cuomo's, you know, governor, but he's some guy in Albany.
He has that Albany
tentacles in the community,
Albany taint
does
on him, right? We only have about a minute, Jim. But besides voter fatigue, what else with Byron Brown? What else does this mean for him? I mean, could he be running? Will he run again for another term, or is this it for him?
You know, who knows? On one hand, maybe this shows voter fatigue. Or maybe what it shows is how shallow the Democratic bench is in Buffalo. And it is a very shallow bench. And, you know, he's never really had like an A-team opponent. You know, Schroeder has probably come closest. But he's really never had to go toe-to-toe with a really, really big name with
right.
powerful endorsements.
So if you want to know the issues that Byron Brown is going to be facing over the next few years, go to investigativepost.org. There's a great story about a serious legal challenge, a federal civil rights lawsuit brought by community activists against the police there. Jim Heaney is the founder, editor, and executive editor of Investigative Post. It's great to speak with you, Jim. Thank you again.
Take care.
Bye.
The Capitol Press Room is brought to you by the New York State AFL-CIO. 2.5 million members speaking with one voice to ensure a better life for working men and women. More information at nysafl-cio.org.